Welcome to episode 236 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on keeping your mind in check. An anchor scripture is from Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. I read from the King James Version. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Verse 17, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So in today's podcast, we'll continue the series. Again, if you've missed the other part in this series, I'll strongly encourage you to kind of listen to those. So you can get the complete context of what we've been talking about. But we've done three parts in the series. And in those three parts, we pretty much addressed verse 15 of this reading. We've addressed about a third of verse 16. In fact, the last place we stopped is, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." So today we're going to be examining, we're going to be continuing from there. So the other part of verse 16, and again, obviously, our prayer, the main thing we've been talking about is, what are some things you can do to keep your mind in check? Because again, your mind is like the engine room of your life. So the way your mind is will ultimately be the way your life is. So we're talking about principles that can help you just really keep that mind in check. So the second part of verse 16 says, "Teaching and admonishing one another." Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, what does it mean to teach? To teach means to literally explain something to somebody. And not just literally explain something to someone. It doesn't just say to teach. It also says to admonish. Admonish means to warn a person, to reprimand a person, to guide a person along the right path. That's what it means to admonish, right? Like if I, for example, I say, "Oh, I admonish you to study your Bible every day." It's like me warning you that, see, studying your Bible should be a daily habit so that you can keep yourself, on the right path from a salvation perspective. So the thing is, it says one of the things to keep you can do to keep your mind in check is to teach and admonish one another. Teach and admonish one another. So teach, but don't just teach, reprimand. And it doesn't say, "Oh, teach and admonish other people." No, it says teach and admonish one another. This is one thing that really helps keep your mind in check. Because if you're teaching other people something, it gives you a deeper understanding of that thing that you're teaching. It gives you a deeper understanding. Like, for example, just from me teaching certain things over the years, I understand that thing better, right? So teaching and admonishing one another, so reprimanding, warning other people, right? That's a way to keep your mind in check. You're teaching other people, you're admonishing other people. And here's one thing you don't realize. When you teach something and you admonish other people on something, it almost places like a burden in your heart that, man, I'm the one teaching this thing. I better make sure that I'm living out this thing. So it's almost like a way to remind yourself. Because when you're teaching something, when you're admonishing someone on something, it's almost like you're taking a refresher course on that thing. Again, that's causing you to keep pondering on that thing. Right? But it says teaching and admonishing one another. So that means you're not just doing this for others, but you're also receiving this yourself. That's one thing about people. Many people love to dole things out to people, but they do like, you know, teachings and admonitions, but they don't like to receive it themselves. No, you have to have a teachable spirit. You don't know everything. And the thing is, the Bible on many occasions talks about how we are members of one body. We are literally members of one body, of one body, of one body. So we are all interconnected. We are all there to help each other, right? So be also willing yourself to be taught, and be also willing yourself to be admonished, right? Because when you're taught, a seed is being sown in your heart. If you're being taught the word of Christ, a good seed is being sown in your heart. When you're being reprimanded, again, the fact that you're being reprimanded does not mean that, wow, this person is angry with you. No, especially if it's coming from the right person, especially when it's coming from God, it's for your own good. The Bible says somewhere in the book of Hebrews, it says no discipline. You know, discipline doesn't seem good when it's happening, right? But in the end, it's painful. But in the end, it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that have been exercised thereby. So it's very important, right? Also be a person. I think of this teaching and admonishing here as almost like getting some form of discipline, right? So be willing to do it to other people so that other people can, their lives can be better. Right? Because the thing is, the Bible says, whatever you sow, you will also reap. So if you are sowing, teaching the word of Christ in other people's lives, admonishing them on Christ in their life, you know, warning and reprimanding them, you will also reap those same things. But as you're reaping it, be willing to receive it because it's for your own good. Those teachings are for your own good. Those admonitions are for your own good. Okay, so it's teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we've talked about teaching and admonishing one another. Well, look at how he's saying. He says, oh, do it in psalms. Do it in hymns. Do it in spiritual songs. So, what is the lesson here? The lesson here, honestly, I will say is potentially twofold. The first part is this. One of the ways that your mind can be kept in check is singing in your heart to the Lord or giving out worship to the Lord. Let me explain. Psalms. If you read through the book of Psalms, there are so many wonderful things in the book of Psalms. So many songs of worship, songs of praise to the Lord in the book of Psalms. Hymns. If you've read any hymn, I'm telling you, especially like the hymns of old, boy, do they have just really amazing ways of worshiping God. Spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. So these things are ways to keep your mind in check. I'd like to give an example. Look at Saul, for example, when an evil spirit was sent from the Lord to torment him. How did that evil spirit depart? Well, David came and played the harp for him. As he played the harp, the evil spirit went away, right? So it's almost like psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are almost like a lost art these days, right? Because unfortunately, you see many of these psalms, hymns, and spirituals, you see a lot of people singing what they say as psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and they are not really those things. Like you see some of the songs these days that come out, and they are called gospel songs, but they're basically like hype songs. They don't have any substance, they don't have any message, they don't have any nothing with them, right? So I'm just saying this. This is actually something that can help. Because what you listen to in your ears can really control the way you think, right? If, for example, you keep hearing bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, your mind is not going to be in check. Your mind is going to be all over the place. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be worried. You're going to be depressed. But if you're hearing good news, you're hearing the message of Christ, you're hearing the word of Christ, all those things can encourage you, right? That's why, again, many times, if you see a person that kind of detaches themselves from social media and they don't spend time watching most of the classic TV that you see, especially in this country, you'll notice that those people tend to be calmer mind-wise. Because if you go on the news these days, what is a lot of what is covered? A lot of fear-mongering, talking about this problem or this other problem in the world, right? They never, good news almost does not sell. So it's like, ooh, what is the scary thing we can talk about to freak people out, right? And so that's one understanding, right? So really, like, spending time not just listening to stuff, but listening to spiritually inspired stuff. And I feel like this psalm, hymns, and spiritual songs, almost like figurative. Like, what are you listening to? Listen to things that will enrich your heart, right? But I say that there is a potential twofold understanding to this. The second dimension to this is that these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, let these be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that have a message. Because if you look at the rejoinder, the early part of this, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that means, oh wait, these psalms, these hymns, these spiritual songs, they should have some teaching value. They should have some admonishing value, right? That's why, honestly, I love hymns. I absolutely love hymns. Again, especially the hymns of old. As you're singing those songs, you're praising God, you're worshiping God. But man, I'm telling you, there are so many wonderful lessons that are Bible inspired in those songs. As you're singing those songs, you're actually getting value from those songs. You're not just singing the songs, but you're being taught by those songs. You're being admonished by those songs. Like, for example, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Again, literally, look at these words. That's a hymn. But there's a lot of teaching value in this hymn. It talks about trusting God. It talks about obeying God. It talks about doing the will of the Lord. Guess what? Singing these kinds of songs, hearing these kinds of songs, is teaching you and admonishing you. It's teaching you. And the person that sang it is teaching you and admonishing you. But you on your own, if you sing it in your heart, with grace in your heart unto the Lord, guess what? It's also teaching you and admonishing you. Right? So hopefully that point makes sense. Right? But again, being taught, being admonished, you teaching and you admonishing, that's another way you can really keep your mind in check. Keep your mind in check. Because again, right, as you're singing, hearing these things, it's just ministering to your heart. It's almost like you're just depositing seeds of goodness in your heart. And then the last part of this verse says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, right? That means you're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You're worshiping God from your heart. Again, these things will keep your mind in check. I'm telling you this, one of the most effective weapons when you're going through a tough circumstance in your life, because if you think about it, when you're going through a tough circumstance, the first thing you want to do is you want to complain, you want to murmur, you want to start acting out, you want to feel sad and everything. I'm telling you, sometimes even when you're in a tough circumstance, you don't want to pray. Can I tell you one very good thing you can do? Start singing unto the Lord. I'm telling you, it will encourage you. If you look at David went through a pretty decent number of challenging circumstances in his life. Well, look at the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is filled with so many songs. Right? Or look at Apostle Paul when he was in prison with Silas. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. And what did he do? They started praising God. They started praising God. They were keeping their minds in check. He was building up their faith as they were praising God. And what did God do? God sent an intervention, sent an angel, flung the doors of the prison open and delivered them. Okay. Look at Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. They were being put in a tough circumstance. Oh, many kings were saying, oh, we're going to come and destroy the land of Israel. Okay, so what did they do? They started praising God. In fact, I think the songs they were saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Think about it. You're singing those songs. You're in a tough trying circumstance, literally in a tough trying circumstance, but you're singing those songs unto the Lord. You're worshiping God. You're praising God. So it's keeping you calm. It's building your faith. But then as you're doing these things, you're telling God, God, please help me, right? So it's almost like you're killing many birds with one stone. You're keeping your mind in check, and you're also building your faith, right? Because a building of faith is a way of keeping your mind in check, but you're also ministering unto the Lord. You're saying, he says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You're projecting those songs towards God, and God will respond like he responded for those Israelites. What did he do? He made these people start fighting themselves. The Israelites, they won that battle, and they did not even have to go to any war. All they went to do for 3 days, they were just dividing the spoil. I pray for someone that's listening to this podcast that you've been struggling with something, you've been battling with something. It's my prayer that the Lord will give you victory without war in the name of Jesus, right? But what do I encourage you to do today? Keep praising God, keep worshiping God, or give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, his mercy endures forever. Do those things, you'll keep your mind in check, but you're also engaging with the throne room of heaven to come to your rescue. So the thing though is, again, you cannot do any of these things and have any of it be acceptable to God if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, man was born in a sinful state. Literally, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And because of that, each and every one of us have become sinners. Each and every one of us have become separated from God. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be nailed to the cross, to die for us, to reconcile us back to God. So, what is your responsibility in all of this? If you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will encourage you, come to the Lord today. Christ came to reconcile us back to God. That ministry of reconciliation, he has basically brought it to bear in our lives. And honestly, you know, almost like a side point with what we discussed today, that ministry of reconciliation that Jesus Christ performed in our lives, we're supposed to perform it in the lives of others. We're supposed to teach and admonish other people about this ministry of reconciliation. If you just do a Google search, ministry of reconciliation, Bible, there's a verse that talks about it, that God has reconciled, Christ has reconciled us back to God. But that ministry of reconciliation, we also have the responsibility of reconciling people back to God. That's an application of this verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another. So you've heard that message, you were taught, you were admonished like you are today, and you receive Christ, but you're not supposed to just keep that to yourself. You're supposed to do it for one another. You're supposed to push out that message to other people. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me in your precious blood. I surrender all to you. Come and take charge of my life. Come and save me and come and be my Lord. Give me a brand new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood and fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for those that have just surrendered their lives to you and myself and all the people that are listening to this podcast. I pray that you give us the grace to keep our minds in check. Help us to teach and admonish others in love. And not just teach and admonish others in love, but also be willing to be taught and admonished in love. And give us the grace to spend time in true worship, in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Because these things do not just keep our minds in check, but they also are of sacrifice. They are also a form of worship to you. So help us, Lord, to truly worship you, that our minds may be kept in check, and that we may bring pleasure to you, and that your name might be glorified. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, congratulations, you're a child of God. There are three things you need to do. Number one, Listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. 96 to 101 is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. For many people, the New Living Translation is very understandable for them. Read it. Meditate on it. Right? Think about what you've read. Write down action steps for your life. Put it into practice. Make it a daily habit. You'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not just a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, but they are certainly not Bible-believing. That's not a place you want to be. You want to go to a place where the true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. The true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. The true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. So if you go to a new church, you listen to the word and you're like, go back and be like the Berean Christians. Go back and cross-check. This thing I heard in church today, does it match up with what is in scripture? If it does, it's probably a good place to be. If it doesn't, and you notice that, man, just in numerous ways. Because, okay, some people make mistakes when they preach, and that's, some people make mistakes. But if you notice this pervasive pattern where this church just seems to have so many beliefs that are not in line with scripture, and, you know, you're like, man, almost every service, they preach something and you're like, man, this is the opinion of man. This is not the word of God. This person is preaching a lot of high-sounding nonsense. You want to get out of that place as quickly as possible so that your mind does not get corrupted. Remember, the Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence because out of it proceeds the issues of life. So thank you for listening to me today. Have a wonderful weekend. By the grace of God, I'll see you in episode 237. And I'm trusting God. If God wants us to do that, then we will very likely be wrapping up this series in episode 237. Or we'll see as the Lord takes us. So have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. I'll see you on Sunday. God willing. Shalom.